Jack says you are at UT Southwestern.
Okay.
You got it right about now.
We're going to start with an exercise. Not stand up and jump around, but there are two circles. They look like they're similar in size, but it's an optical illusion. So, by a show of hands, how many people think the blue circle is the bigger one? How many people think the red circle is the bigger one? We have a lot of people that like red. I tricked you. They're exactly the same. Today we're going to talk about deception and how it's used on everybody all day long. Somebody that you trust is going to get up and tell you that black is white and white is black. It is an art form that has been perfected, especially since the propaganda of World War II. Now, the media was fed white lies, quote unquote, for years and years and years to support the war effort. And in some sense, you could support that since we believe that America was engaged in doing something good in stamping out evil. However, they got to be really good at it. By the time of the Vietnam War, they were really, really good at it, and that is crafting a narrative or spinning the truth. At some point in time, it got out of control, and the American people finally rebelled and said, "You're lying to us. We know you're lying to us. This war is unwinnable. We can't stay there anymore." And there was virtually a rebellion amongst the people in the United States, especially the young people. We grew up in an era of Walter Cronkite delivering the news, and he ended each broadcast and he would say, "And that's the way it was." Yeah. We trusted what he said, and he seemed trustworthy, and we continued watching the nightly news because it was news. It was facts. CNN, when Ted Turner started it, and I'm not a big Ted Turner fan, especially his bride at the time, their motto was just the facts. And they were extremely reliable. They had stringers, reporters all over the world. And they had an extensive satellite network. And they had video news feed all over the world. And presidents and governments and everybody tuned in to CNN for large events that were happening across the world because they were just giving the facts. That's no longer the case. With any of the news medias, whether they lean right or they lean left. May 26, Judge Doherty in Mississippi ruled after oral arguments on May 26 in Missouri v. Biden. The plaintiffs were the state of Missouri and the state of Louisiana. It's a landmark decision. They were suing our president, the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the CDC, the Department of Homeland Security, the United States Census Bureau, the U.S. Department of Commerce, the FBI, the CIA, the FDA, U.S. Department of Treasury, amongst others. After oral arguments, Judge Doherty issued a 155-page, which is a very long judgment, barring the defendants in the case because he found overwhelming evidence of censorship with social media platforms, and barred them from contacting any social media platform in the United States for the purpose of censoring free speech, which he said was a constitutional right of the American people. The evidence that was presented to him was overwhelming. It's a very interesting decision. I haven't read all of it, but the evidence was incredibly damning. This case is about the free speech clause in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. The explosion of social media platforms has resulted in unique free speech issues. This is especially true in light of COVID-19. If the allegations made by the plaintiffs are true, the present case arguably involves the most massive attack against free speech in the United States history. In their attempts to suppress alleged disinformation, the federal government, and particularly the defendants named here, are alleged to have blatantly ignored the First Amendment's right to free speech. Although the censorship alleged in this case almost exclusively targeted conservative speech, the issues raised therein go beyond party lines. The right to free speech is not a member of any political party and does not hold any political ideology. It is the purpose of the Free Speech Clause of the First Amendment to preserve in an uninhibited marketplace of ideas in which truth will ultimately prevail, rather than to countenance monopolization of the market, whether it be by government itself or private licensee, in other words, private companies. He found the evidence to be overwhelming that the government censored users in their free speech. If the government and others dislike what you said, they would cancel you. If a Hollywood actor comes out with conservative ideas, they will be canceled. And they will not be able to market their services because nobody will hire them. Being canceled in today's information-centric world is to be shunned socially and economically. It is not the right of our government to cancel us in what we say. This week, this last Tuesday, not surprisingly, the judge in the Missouri v. Biden case denied the government's motion to stay the injunction forbidding it from censoring Americans. He issued a 13-page opinion saying that while the case is tried, that the government was likely to lose, and he provided extremely clear examples of clear censorship from the following at federal agencies: the White House, the Surgeon General, his staff, the CDC, NIAID, FBI, CISA, and the State Department. The government's misconduct was so widespread, one wonders what the federal government was doing during the pandemic apart from censoring Americans. So, the Department of Homeland Security, the head of CISA, or
Information Services. Jan Easterly views the word infrastructure to include the cognitive infrastructure of the United States. In other words, our collective brains and thoughts. And she has stated smugly that it's important for the Department of Homeland Security to control the cognitive infrastructure of the United States. In other words, what we think and what we say. They view that as their job, to control what we think and what we say. There is nothing there, I cannot think of any more Orwellian type of statement that anybody has ever made than that. We all know that Elon Musk threw out the ex-government staffers out of Twitter and stopped most of the censorship on Twitter, which has caused the elite woke society to go nuts because that was their favorite platform to spread disinformation. Listen to what Mark Zuckerberg, owner and head of Meta, Facebook, their CEO, he admitted straight out that government censorship went too far and undermined trust in institutions. In a podcast last week, he said there hasn't been time yet to vet a lot of scientific assumptions. And, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of the kind of establishment on that kind of waffled on a bunch of facts and, you know, asked for a bunch of things to be censored. Government asked for things to be censored that in respect wound up being more debatable or true. And that stuff is really tough, right, and really undermines trust. Why would private companies cave in and censor American people? Since the House Oversight Committee last week found out that the FBI, the federal law enforcement agency responsible for disrupting foreign malign intelligence, instead facilitated censorship requests to American social media companies on behalf of a Ukrainian intelligence agency, the SBU, their secret police, who had an FBI email account and would email the FBI the social media posts and people that they wanted censored. And the FBI would then lean on the social media companies to cancel those members. They found 681 instances of the FBI doing this. Interestingly enough, they found out that the SBU, Ukrainian Secret Police, had been infiltrated by the Russians, and they were really acting against Ukrainian interests. It's interesting how that works. I have an email folder where I drag items like this into it, and I was going through them yesterday, and I had to delete pages of this stuff because we could be here all day long. It's the evidence of government censorship and trying to control what we think about anything is overwhelming. It's not some conspiracy theory. It's a fact. I have a very long article describing the top 50 organizations that the elites, that corporations, the government pays to craft the spinning of the truth. These are the top 50 U.S. organizations that create a narrative, create the social media post, that monitor social media, and they help craft or spin the lie that some, that their clients want portrayed. Not surprisingly, Harvard and Yale are two of the top 10. There are think tanks that specialize in this. The money that's spent by our government to craft a narrative and spin the truth is in the billions and billions of dollars. When we turn on the evening news, some of what you see is fact. A lot of it is twisted facts. A lot of it is spinning you in a direction, either right or left. But it's spinning you away from the truth. And what they don't, what if they're reporting truth, what's more important is what they're not reporting. When you go to Israeli news and English news and Sweden's news, which is available online, you find out a whole lot of stuff that you don't see in American media. Especially when you look at the news out of Israel. What's going on in Israel and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the Israeli-Iran conflict is truly amazing. But nobody right now wants to talk about that. You don't hear about Pakistan. You don't hear about Turkey. You don't hear what's going on over there. Because nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that they know and have found U.S. government biolabs in Ukraine and the Sudan. They're there. It's facts. Why? Why do we have secret U.S. government biolabs in the Sudan and the Ukraine? When we look and all of the lies that are poured out upon us, how are we to know the truth? There was an interesting, I think it was Matt Walsh, did a movie where he went around and asked elites and government figures and clergy one question. What is a woman?
Oh dear.
And people wouldn't answer him. They beat around the bush. One of the heads of Britain's church said, well, it used to be easy to determine, but now it's not quite so simple. Okay. Truth. Look at John 18, starting in verse 23. Jesus was taken before Pilate. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered and said, Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said, so you are a king? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, his answer was, quid est veritas? What is truth? What is truth? Today in this world, it would be hard for anybody to determine, especially our young people, what is truth? This is truth. Right here. It is the measuring stick by which we must measure everything. Because it is truth. It declares itself to be true. And if this is false, then we are hopeless. It is truth. Yet, from pulpits all over this nation and in the Western world, we're going to see preachers this morning waffle on what this book of truth actually says. Why? Because the truth of a sovereign God who judges sin is an anathema to the current thinking of society, and the pulpit today wants to be relevant to today's society. And they're afraid if they're not relevant, then people won't come. And it has something to do with money and attendance. I hate to say it, but that's really what the problem is. They need the money, they need the attendance. But this book of unvarnished truth is what we must measure everything in the world against. Over the last year, I've been here on and off, and we've looked at various portions of the Bible. What is truth? Evolution, is that right? Look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. You now know what teams of scientists spend their life trying to figure out. How did the universe come into being? It's the first thing that God says to the people He chose, and that is, in the beginning, God, and God created the heaven and the earth. He created it over 6 days. You now know what eminent scientists spend their whole lives trying to figure out. Now, do we know all the details? No. Do we know how God did it? No. It is interesting if for some scientist to seek the origins of the universe. If he does so in light of this teaching, it's very interesting. And it leads to more knowledge. How many genders are there? There is nothing that incites fury amongst the woke people than that question. in Genesis 1, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God made man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. How many genders are there? Two. Out of the 8 billion or so people on the face of the earth, not one, has been born to a biological male. It should solve that question. But in the eyes of the woke media, it does not. And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. Whose benefit was the earth created for? To God's glory and to man's benefit, for us to have dominion over and enjoy. Who's more important, the animals and the birds and the bees or the men and women of this earth? Men and women are to have dominance over the earth and everything in it. Why is life in the world so hard? We look at the fall in Genesis chapter 3. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's why life is so hard, and we've studied that in detail. Is man good at nature and by his in his inner nature, or is he evil in his inner nature? Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We studied that. That goes on today. Our very nature, the nature of man, is evil inside. Another question. Will climate change ruin the earth and make it uninhabitable? Back in the early 60s, the UN, and this is recorded in the papers of the UN, was trying to figure out how it could tax and rule over the entire earth. They developed strategies that would be crafted over years in order to obtain that goal. One such strategy was climate change, to rule by fear that only the world united under one government, under the UN,
could solve. That was crafted by the UN in the 60s. They've been working on it for 60 years. For 60 years, we've heard climate change, climate warming, global warming. And by the way, one thing that you're going to hear about here pretty soon, especially coming up on hurricane season, it is a fact that the Atlantic Ocean has heated up dramatically over the last year. And they started studying it, it's up almost a degree, which is statistically huge. And pertains, I mean, when it comes to hurricane season, each degree is enormous in fueling hurricanes. But what they found is hot spots all over the Atlantic that were up almost 5 degrees. What's happening? It ain't climate change, because to heat that much water that quickly would take 8 billion Hiroshima bombs. That much energy, we'd all be dead. It's geothermal vents underneath the floor of the Atlantic Ocean that's causing the warming of the Atlantic Ocean. When I read that, I remembered Romans chapter 8, earth groans in anticipation of what the revealing of the sons of God. Things are happening. But it's not all climate change. But is climate change going to destroy the world? Should we be concerned about cows burping or hairspray or whatever ruining the planet and making it uninhabitable? Then Noah built an altar, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from its youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That's the true rainbow promise. The rainbow has been usurped by the gay pride people and taken away from its original purpose, and that was to be a witness unto man from God that he's not going to do it again. The earth will continue on until the end times. We've been through the first 8 chapters, a few of the promises, that much of this book of truth, and we know the answer to the most perplexing questions of those who pretend to be wise but have become foolish. Romans chapter 1, which we looked at last week. In these first 8 chapters, which we've studied before, are the answers to some of the most profound questions that baffle the experts and the media and the elites today. This is truth. And we need to stay grounded in the truth in order to remain calm and confident in a sovereign God in these crazy and weird times that we live in. But is the Bible reliable? What does it say about itself? Turn to 2 Peter.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world. Why? Because of its sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue, knowledge, and with knowledge, self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you'll never fail. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to skip forward to verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly designed myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention to. Peter was called up to the holy mountain for the transfiguration of Jesus. Moses and Elijah appeared. And Peter bore witness to that and heard the voice of God calling out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He heard the voice of God, saw the transfigured Jesus, saw Moses and Elijah as witnesses to this. He was blown away. He saw that. But he says, "And we have a prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention to, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." He's saying that this book of truth is written by man, led by the Holy Spirit, and it's a more sure testimony of God than His own eyewitness seeing of Jesus transfigured and hearing the voice of God. That's how important this word is. This is a book of truth. And as we see dark and strange times and people professing to be wise,
and saying things that are not in this book, we need to stay grounded in what this book says, because it has the answers. It's still relevant because it's truth. It needs to be the measuring stick by which we lead our lives and by which it leads our thoughts, so that we won't be confused by those professing to be wise. For we know the truth. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the knowledge that we can still trust your word in these strange times where truth seems to be a victim and everything seems to spin out of control. In Jesus' name, amen.